I have an interview. Are you all ready? Are you all awake and everybody ready to receive? I'm going to interview Jesus this morning. I'm going to read and Jesus is going to speak. Amen. I'm going to read the words written in red. This is a beautiful interview and we're just going to read it together. And I want you to listen because what Jesus says will open up your heart, will open up your eye, open up your wisdom, and will just lead you to a greater thing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The interview begins. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And I'll be the commentator. I was going to ask Gary if he would read, and I didn't get a chance to get to. I wanted him to be the moderator, and I would, but I didn't want to be that bold. But I just so the moderator. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him. Imagine that. And he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Now the scribes and the Pharisees are the Jewish leaders. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The Jewish leaders who teach what? The Holy Scripture. They know that they didn't have a Bible like we had, amen? But they had the Old Testament, and that's what they taught from. The first five books of that Old Testament flow. So these people knew the Word of God, amen? So these are the ones. And they came, then the scribes and Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act." What's missing?
The man.
Hallelujah. They brought her to Jesus. This is John 8, by the way, Gary, if you want to follow. Now Moses in the law commanded Jesus, us, that such should be stoned. But what do you say? They said this, testing him. And you might not understand what the test is. You see, but here's the test. If Jesus said the woman should not be stoned, they would accuse him of violating Moses' law. Amen? But if he urged them to execute her, then they would report him to the Romans, who did not permit the Jews to carry out their own executions. You see? So now they're trying to trick him. They got it. And they said this, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his fingers, as he thought. He did not hear. As though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, and Jesus would tell you right now, standing right here, "He who was without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." All these people with all these agendas and all these people pointing fingers at others, if they would just stop for one second. And Jesus said, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it began being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. Now why was it the oldest? Because they probably had more sins, amen? They had a whole history of life, and they realized that let him without sin, they realized, oh, that ain't me. So that's why I said, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Did he say that she sinned? Yes. He said, "Go and sin no more." Amen. He acknowledged the sin by saying, "Sin no more." Amen. And notice one other thing. What she said to him, what this woman who was caught in adultery in the act said to him, what does she call him? Lord. And yet the Pharisees and the scribes could not see that. Amen. Imagine that. Okay, here's where the big interview begins. I love this. Then Jesus spoke to them again. So just get your mind. This is Jesus speaking. If he was standing right here today, this is what he would say. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law, and here's what Jesus did. He turns it right back on the Pharisees. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Could you see that happening? "Where is your Father?" And Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Amen. If they recognized Jesus as the Son of God, Flo, they would have known the Father immediately. But he said that. So that's how he answers. The way he answers. He said, "You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not come. Then Jesus said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come?" And he said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Amen. Is Jesus judging them? No. Remember the Bible says, "Judge not lest you be judged." But people judge themselves by the words they speak. Amen. We all judge ourselves by the words we speak. So if you do not believe in the Word of God, you already judge yourself according to the Word of God as an unbeliever. Amen. And Jesus just said that you cannot come there. He said, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of the world, I am not this world. Therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Then they said to him, "Who are you?" Imagine that. "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him," referring to who? His Father. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him." As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Amen. Listen to that peace. And he's talking about the crucifixion. Amen. He's talking about the cross. "When you lift up the Son of Man, when you put him on that cross, then you will know that I am he." Amen. "And then I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him." It says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in me, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Not set you free, amen. Notice what he's saying there, Jim. He's saying it will make you free. You don't have any choice in that, man. The truth, if you love Jesus, the truth will make you free, amen. It's not something you do, not something you earn, not something you have to gather. It's been given to you, amen. Not set and made you free. And then they answered him, "We are Abraham's," listen to these people, listen to their arrogance. "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them. Here's the interview. He would say, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a sin of slave." Amen? Is a slave of sin. You understand that? Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Whatever's got you down, whatever's holding you, you're a slave. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And then he says this, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants." See, he says, "I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your father." Then they answered and said, "Abraham is our father." And he said, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. but now you seek to kill me. A man has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Listen to this. Listen to what they're saying to Jesus. Who are they talking to? Jesus, the Son of God. Listen to what they say, their self-righteous pride here. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Now, who's Jesus been talking about? And that they claim that they know, they don't know him, but they know his Father. Amen? Jesus said to him, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father, hallelujah, you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? And Jesus answered and said, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Listen to that, this line. Listen to Jesus in this interview. He's saying, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. How many? How much money does it cost? What do you have to do? Keep his word. You have to love him. Amen. Are we going to be perfect? Is there any church where perfect people are sitting? If you had to be perfect before you walked in that door, this church and every other church would be empty. Amen. Are you with me? It's so beautiful. This interview is so beautiful. I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. That simply means that Abraham is in paradise. Amen. We know that from reading the Bible. Amen. And Jesus is saying, Abraham saw me. Abraham saw everything that's happening. Amen. And he rejoiced. Let me read that again. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, closing this interview, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I just read from you in the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter. Was there anything there hard to understand? Was there anything there that made you confused? Because if you were, there are little notes on the bottom to help you. Brother Fred?
We have the Holy Spirit, so we got someone helping us understand. They lived in darkness.
They lived in darkness, but they knew the Word of God. They were quoting Abraham well, and they were quoting Scriptures well to Jesus. Amen. But they were not living what they were quoting. They were hypocrites. Amen. They were talking about God, not even knowing that the Son of God. Now that woman that they brought in, the adulterous woman, what did she say to him? Lord. She saw that he was God. Amen. And when he spoke these words, some people came to believe what he was saying. And he was explaining to them, if you knew God, you would know my Father and you would know me. If you believed God, you would believe the words I'm saying, but there's no love in you. There's no compassion. There's only self. When they said to him, we believe in God. To me, that when I read that, the more I read it, I don't want to say it makes you smile, but it just takes you back that they can have that kind of self-righteous pride. Then they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. And there's his Son standing right there. And do they see him? Hallelujah. No, they don't. We see the struggles in the world. How many see it every day? Amen. You're seeing it every day. You can't miss it. We call them unbelievers, simply unbelievers. Amen. The ones that are lost. But I say we also see the struggle with believers. We do. How many struggle with believing sometimes, wanting to see it, wanting to believe with all your heart and your soul? Because we're human, amen? Because we have that flesh dealing with. But here's it. We see struggles with believers, wanting to see, wanting to believe, searching. But that is the difference. That difference makes all the difference. Unbelievers do not seek what you're seeking for. The struggles of the world are because of the unbelievers. But the struggles of a believer is because we crave more of God. Amen? We want to see more of God. We want to understand God. See, that's the difference of the difference. Amen? We want to know where our loved ones went. We want to know that we'll see them again. We want to know that we have joy, unspeakable joy, waiting for us. Amen? So we search for that. That's the difference between us and somebody who doesn't want to hear the Word of God. These people were preaching the Word of God, and when God walked into their house and taught them, and they listened to every word he said, they called him, said he had a demon inside of him. Amen. Imagine that. He's speaking the truth, speaking love and compassion. And he's not saying, I want your money. He's saying, I want you to believe in me. And that's what happened. And they did not see him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So I tell you, the world seeks its own. The world, unbelievers seek power and self, control, pride, gain. It's a constant struggle, amen? You see it every day. All these people protesting. It's a constant struggle. And you ask them, what's the end result? They don't have one, amen? There cannot be an end to complaining, amen? There cannot be an end to demanding. Because once you get one thing, you start demanding the next thing, amen? That's the world, amen? But believers seek to find, and this is what I believe, and this is why I know that we have the healing ointment. We do. The believers seek to find peace, amen? Comfort, compassion, forgiveness. We want a better way. We want wisdom from God. We want life changing today, amen? We want our lives to change today. We want our families to change today. Why? Because we know we have a better way, amen? We don't know everything about God. Can I get an amen? We don't know everything about this Bible, but we know that when you turn your life to God, things change, amen? And the people around you have to change. Can I get an amen? Now here's the world does not desire change. And this is why I tell you, it doesn't. For to desire change means that something must be wrong or lacking in their ideas. Amen? For if an unbeliever desired change, they would first have to admit what? That they were wrong. Now, I know husbands and wives. Wives can tell their husband all the time, right, Gary, how wrong we are all the time. But that's not the same wrong. Amen? Maybe.
Make me watch Fox News for 30 minutes next week for that.
Punishment. No, the world does not desire change, for to desire change means that something must be wrong or lacking in their ideas. Now, to seek for God to an unbeliever, and you talk to people who have no idea of God, whatever they call themselves, unbelievers, let's just call them that, is a sign of weakness. For these people to seek for God to them is like a sign of weakness. To a believer, a slow and great hope of, yes, let me read that again because it's so important. To seek for God to an unbeliever is a sign of weakness. To a believer, it's a sign of great hope and comfort, amen? You're all here today hearing what? God's word, amen? What do you want from God's word today? Comfort, amen? You want peace today. Can I get it, amen? You want to hear something that makes you stronger when you leave. That's what you're searching for. The world isn't seeking that, hallelujah. To seek for God to an unbeliever is a sign of weakness. To wake up one morning and say, and this was me about 25 years ago, there must be more. There has to be more. I know that God has a bigger plan for me. And I just talked to him. I prayed. There has to be more. Is the beginning of a new life. Amen? Now, I know we sing one day at a time, and it sounds like a cliche, but each day is a new day to begin, amen? Each day is a new day to change a little bit. Each day is a new day to draw closer to God, to do things you didn't know you were going to do the day before. How many things, even with God, you put walls up? Well, I'm not going to talk to that person because he'll never hear from me. See, you took God right out of it, amen? I'm not going to tell people about God because they'll never listen to me. Well, did you give God a chance? But today you might just say, you know what? I'm knocking down that wall. I don't care if my daughter doesn't want to hear it or my grandson doesn't. I'm going to tell them anyway because they need to hear it. Amen? That's what happens. It is the strong man that has the courage to say that, to face that, to admit that. It is that day where God can and will come in and lead you. To say there must be more and call on God gives is a man who's strong enough to admit all the things behind him. Can I get an amen? It is never easy to ask for help. Oh, this church, I know it. We've got so many givers in this church. So many people doing for other people. I see it all the time. But the second they need something, can I help you? No. No, I can help those people, but I don't need any help. I don't need a jacket. I don't need any. No, no. But everybody's ready to help everybody else. Amen? It is never easy to ask for help. And it won't be easy seeing all the mistakes we make at first. And each day, seeing them should make us run for more of what we're changing for. When you start turning to God, you start seeing all those things that you did that never got you anywhere. Can I get an amen? All the things that held you back, you start seeing them. They're kind of flying by now, realizing, oh, I did that. Oh, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did this. And it's not easy. Amen? Thank God that we have a forgiving, compassionate God. It's never easy to ask for help. It won't be easy seeing all the mistakes we make at first. But seeing them, seeing those mistakes will make us run from what we thought we knew and wanted and did as fast as we can to this new life with God. Can I get an amen? So I tell you this, each day brings a new day. Yes, listen to that. It sounds silly. Each day brings a new day. Hallelujah. Each day is a chance. When we taste how sweet the water is and how clean we feel, we will desire more and more. Can I get an amen? And I will tell you this over and over again. There is always more with God, with Jesus. In your life, in your business, and with your family. I tell you this, bring them to God. Miracles wait for us. God is waiting. He is with us. Can I get an amen? Now here's the proclamation I'm making for Second Congregational. I'm calling the month of October Call a Friend to Church Month. I'm calling on you today. If you really believe with me and you really trust God and you really believe that these words are good and you feel stronger, tell me, Pastor, that was a great sermon and we love you. Good. If you really believe that, this is Call a Friend to Church Month. Call people you haven't called before. Call your children and call your grandchildren and say, just call them and say, come to church. Call your best friend. Now, I know that my brother Dave, we've got a friend that we both know that he's been on him every single time he sees him. So I would tell you to ask seven or eight other guys. But I'm telling you, call your children. Call somebody and say, you've got to come to our church because we're preaching the word of God. We're building a family. We're building a family here, amen, about God. Not about the pastor. Not about money. It's about our lives being stronger. So October, don't let the devil get in the way of your phone call. Call your niece. Call your nephew. Let's make October a month of call people to church month. I will do it if you will do it. Will you do it with me? I got nieces and nephews that came a couple of times. I'm getting on the phone with them this week. Say, what happened? We miss you. Oh, we thought it was beautiful. It was so different. I felt so good. And where are you? Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Take that bold step and call people. Call your niece. Call anybody that you can think of and say, would you come to church with me today? Would you just come on a Sunday for a couple of weeks and see my family? Hear the word of God. If you don't like it, we'll talk about why. But maybe we'll all learn something at the end of this month. Amen? Maybe we'll all learn because we've been saying, what can we do? Right, Gary? What can we do? How can we? Can we put it in the paper? We don't have to put anything in the paper. Amen? God said he will provide. And look at what he's provided today. And we have about six people that always here that aren't here today. Amen? So look at what he's providing. We can do it. Call October to call somebody to church month. Will you do that with me? Will you take that pledge with me that we're going to call people, no, regardless of who you think, especially, say that word especially with me, especially those who you think will never hear you. Because my God is the God of miracles. Amen. So if you want to let God perform the miracles, give them the ball and let them run with it. That's the sermon today. Trust God. And let's make October a big month for Second Congregational. Hallelujah. And I hope you enjoyed the interview with Jesus. That was chapter 8 out of the book of John. How simple was that? How beautiful was that? So I can't understand the Bible. Y'all understood well with me today. Ask a family member. Ask somebody that you love with all your heart to come to church. Listen, if they answer you and say, I don't have time or I don't want to, or if you haven't spoken to them in a while and they sound a little upset that you even called, understand what happens when they hang up. They will have to recognize the fact that you called, and you called out of love and compassion, and you said, come to my church with me. Come pray with me. Can we? Because God is in the healing business, amen, especially families. He wants to heal families. I know people I'm going to call this week. And I pray that you do too, but understand, you might not get the response that you want at first, but you're planting seeds in these people and these folks who you want to be here. So when they hang up the phone, they said, wow, they must really care about me to want me to go to church, want me to go to their church because something good is happening there. And it might not be that week or the week after, and they may wake up and say, you know, just to get them off my case, I'm going to show up for church. Hallelujah. That's how we get them in the door. That's how we, because as long as we're preaching this word of God and with joy, and make sure everybody says hi to our new sister over here who come to visit with us today. These folks are crazy. But you're going to find out that the pastor here is crazy too, amen? Because I'm crazy about Jesus. I want you all to have better lives, prosper lives, your businesses, your family. And you're no different than us, my wife and I. We have troubles in our families, amen? Haven't seen my son in years. I have to give it to God. But I'm going to call him this week and say, you need to go to church. I'm not going to be afraid anymore. If he can't come to our church simply because he lives in Arizona, what kind of excuse is that? There's a church near his house he can go to. We got to open the door to people. And the people that you think will not listen to you most, give God that chance to do the impossible. Give him praise, church.